All right, let's pray for a moment. Father, as we come to your word, thank you that you are the living word. You are the word of God. As it says in John 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh. And that's what we've been celebrating. And Lord, as we heard in some of the songs, as Becca prayed, you are also Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. And you came to show us who you are. And you came so that we could hear you, we could know you in a very personal way. And so, Lord, as we finish up this series on hearing you, may you speak to us, speak to each heart, as I believe you already have and you will. And Lord, speak in things that this message isn't even necessarily saying, but you want to share with somebody. Maybe you want to share your love with them, your concern, your forgiveness, your peace that you want to speak into their lives. Whatever it is, Lord, would you do that through this message and just through your Holy Spirit. So may we have attentive ears to hear your word this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Well, speaking of hearing, there was a man who was perplexed by his wife's refusal to admit her hearing problem. Now, we don't have that problem in our house. Both of us know that we're going deaf, but speaking to his doctor one day, he said, "How can I get my wife to admit that she's hard of hearing?" The doctor thought for a moment, said, "I'll tell you what you need to do. When you go home tonight, when you open the door, peek your head in and say, 'Honey, what's for dinner?' If she doesn't answer, then go into the living room and then say again, 'Honey, what's for dinner?' If she still doesn't answer, then go into the kitchen and politely say, 'Honey, what's for dinner?' If she still doesn't hear you, then go up to her, and not loudly, but go up to her in her ear and say, 'Honey, what's for dinner?'" And the guy says, "Oh, that's a great idea. I think that'll work. That'll convince her." So that evening, the man arrived home from work, and just as he was instructed, he went, he opened the door, and he kind of yelled, "Honey, what's for dinner?" Nothing. Walked into the living room, "Honey, what's for dinner?" Still nothing, just silence. And so he went into the kitchen, and his polite voice, "Honey, what's for dinner?" Still nothing. Finally, he went up to her ear and said, "Honey, what's for dinner?" At this time, the wife turned around and resolutely replied, "For the fourth time, it's spaghetti." You know what? I think we're like this as well with God. We think God can't hear us, or God's not speaking to us, but it's us that are hard of hearing. We think God has the problem, but the truth is many times we don't hear God because we're not listening. Or maybe we have a hearing problem. And so that's kind of what we're going to look at this morning. How to better hear God. You know, we've been talking for the last 6 weeks about hearing God. And we've learned that God speaks to us in a variety of different ways. And we saw how God speaks to us conjointly through his word, through the Bible. As he shares, as we read and study the Bible, God speaks to us about who he is, his character, what he wants us to know. He speaks to us also through the still small voice, through his still small voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit. We talked about the inner voice that God silently, quietly often speaks to us. And we shared about how God uses others to speak to us. Sometimes he even uses others that we haven't met, like through music or through a book that we read. And God also uses circumstances. He uses circumstances to kind of point us and confirm to us the direction that he wants us to go or a desire that he has for us in our lives. And so God desires us to live confidently in a conversational presence with him. I think that's a key phrase, in a conversational presence with him. But the truth is many of us, or maybe I should say some of us, are hard of hearing, kind of like that husband was. We think that God isn't speaking, but he is. Part of the problem may be us, that we just have a hard time hearing. So maybe we need to ask ourselves, how can I hear God better? How can I hear God better? Maybe we need to ask God to improve our hearing, to give us some things that will improve our hearing. See, God is always about us knowing him better, about him speaking into our lives and us hearing him more clearly. You know, he wants to give us direction of how we are to lead our lives. Look with me to Proverbs chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. It's on the screen. And this is actually some wisdom that a father is giving to his son. Wisdom about his relationship with God and specifically about seeking wisdom from God. And he says this, and if you call out for insight, son, and if you cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver, and search for it as for a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. God wants us to call out. He wants us to look for, even to search for him and for his wisdom. See, when we ask, God says he will give. Look at verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. James talks about that. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him seek God. If we seek God, he says he will answer. He will impart wisdom. He'll give us wisdom. He'll give us some knowledge. He'll give us understanding and direction so that we can know him better. You know, that was the heart of Paul as well. One of his prayers for the church in Ephesians 1:17, actually we looked at this a couple weeks ago. It's a great prayer. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the Spirit, may give you the Holy Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So you may know him better. You know, I believe, and I know from experience, and many of you know from experience, that in order to improve my hearing from God and to gain wisdom, to gain some understanding, to gain knowledge and direction from God, you know something that I found to be true? Is I got to reduce the noise. I got to reduce the noise in my life. Sometimes it's all the noise that keeps me from hearing God. I need to take Psalm 46:10 seriously. We looked at it last week. To be still. Another version says, cease striving and know that I am God. We need to have times in our lives, in our days, to kind of erase all the distractions, all the noise, in order that we can hear God better. We talked about this a little bit last week. We want to go a little deeper this week. You know, in our culture of go, 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 do more, have more stuff going on in your life, the more we do that, the less we hear God. Many of us, quite honestly, are afraid of slowing down. We're afraid of quieting down because there's so much external stimulation, so much adrenaline even in our culture, quite honestly, many of us are literally addicted to it. Sometimes, I don't know if I'm addicted, but sometimes I think I am. Because we always have to have stuff going on in our lives. Why is that? It's a good question. But you know, there's so many things that call for our attention, whether it be, do I have it? Oh, good, I took it away. I put it back there. Whether it be my phone. One of the few times I don't have my phone on me, right? You're probably not like that. Whether it be my phone, whether it be the computer, whether it be the music I listen to, whether it be your TV, or whatever it is, a multitude of things that we always have to have on or going. See, if we want to truly hear God, we need to make time for quiet. Whereas the Bible often calls it for silence and for solitude. Habakkuk 2:20 says this, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Zechariah 2:13 says, be still before the Lord, all mankind, because he has roused himself from his holy dwelling. Only when our mouths are closed, only when our hearts are quieted, can we hear that still small voice. Do we allow ourselves to hear God through his word or through others or even the circumstances going on in our lives? Only in silence are we able to hear God many times. Not that that's the only time, but when to really hear some of the deeper things of God, we need to allow the good shepherd to lead us to those quiet and still waters, right? We all know Psalm 23, lead me beside those quiet, still waters. To get alone, to hear from God, to hear him speak into our lives, what is going on in our lives, and not just the exterior, but what's going on in our spirit and our soul. You know, for many of you, this isn't new. This isn't something that we've never talked about before. I've talked about it a number of times. We've talked about the importance of getting alone with God. Here's the question for each of you. It's a personal question. Are you doing it? I think most of us probably know it in our heads, but is it something that is a part of your life? Are you doing it? To find a space where you won't be interrupted with all the noise of life, where you can find a regular time to listen. Regular times of listening. You know, one person said, you must get to the other side of boredom. That's interesting. I was reading that. You need to get to the other side of boredom. In other words, we get bored so quick. If we're not doing something, we're like, and I'm the same way. Oh, I got to be doing something. Or when our quiet time with God, okay, he's not speaking to me right away. I guess I'll go do something else. To really hear God, we must set aside times where we're going to listen to him. A time to deliberately listen, to pay close attention to what God may be saying to us. See, the point of practicing kind of silence or a quiet time with God as a spiritual discipline isn't to hear audibly God, okay? Most of us, maybe all of us, won't hear God's voice audibly. But as we've seen in the series, we can hear God through his word, through the Holy Spirit, through others, through things that are going in our lives. To pray that he will bring light in our lives to hear something from him. Maybe a fresh perspective, a greater clarity about a relationship or something that's going on. To listen to the inner voice, the still small voice of God. And I believe one of the greatest ways we can do that is seen in Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Maybe familiar to many of you. And he says in Psalm 1, 1 through 3, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel or advice of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight, I love that word, his delight is in the law of the Lord, in God's word. And on his law he meditates. He thinks about it day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. His leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. One of the things that's clear, and we've seen this, is in order to better hear God, to improve our hearing, we must listen. We must fill our hearts and our head with Scripture, with God's word to us. We're called to meditate, which is basically think about. We're called to study, to just read, to listen to God's truths and his principles from his word. And so again, the question is, are we doing it? You want to hear God better? Then be in his word. Spend regular times listening to God through his word. And I believe he will speak. Not just to, okay, I read my five verses for the day and whoo, I did that, I'm gone, I'm done. But no, to spend some time. The goal is to create a context to enhance God's ability to speak into our lives. You know, one of the ways that that I've seen that happen, especially reading God's word, is through what many of us have heard about, I've talked about even this series, of the idea of writing things down that God shares. For me, when I'm praying or reading God's word, during my quiet time, my kind of time of silence and solitude, I always have a piece of paper or a notebook or just, you know, a pad of paper next to me with a pencil. Some of you may have a journal. Sometimes I journal. I have a little journal. But I have that piece of paper. So as I'm praying or as I'm reading the word, when God brings something to my mind, and maybe it's something you need to go and talk to this person, or you need to ask for forgiveness, or there's, you know, remember to take out the garbage that Mel told you to do. You know, whatever it is, I write it down. There's something about writing down and listening to God, being prepared to hear. So, because many times we'll forget about it right away. I do. And I'll go, man, what was that? What was that that God wanted me to do? I really felt God was saying me to do. And usually he brings it back, but it's so helpful sometimes just to journal as you read it and say, what am I learning here? And a lot of times it's not, you know, it's not maybe something brand new or, you know, a big new idea, but it's something he reminds you of. Maybe he reminds you of his love for you, or that he has a plan for you, or that he's in control, or whatever it is that he might be saying in his word. So I encourage you to do that, to have some time to allow you to think and to listen to God of what he's talking to you specifically in your life. But to do this, you must make room. You must make room for quiet and listening to him. And that might be something that you want to do this Christmas. Maybe start it this week. Maybe some of you have a little extra time. Maybe it's even busier, but to take that time. Maybe it's something you want to start in the new year. But regular times of listening are not just during the quiet times, okay? We'll think, well, okay, I did my quiet time. I did my devotional time, whatever you might want to call it. I'm good to go. Well, no, God also wants us to listen to him throughout the day. To have this, remember, ongoing conversation with him throughout the day? We can hear God's whispers throughout the day if we listen. And especially many times, he'll bring back something that you've learned, maybe that morning, or maybe the night before, or maybe something you heard in a message, or maybe it was from your childhood. He'll bring back a scripture. He'll bring back something he taught you when you're in the midst of some kind of conversation or circumstance, and you need his wisdom. And if you listen, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will remind you of some things that you've learned. But we must be willing to listen. Sometimes we ask God for something specific. I know all of you have. You've asked God, God, I have this request. I have this need. Would you show me the direction that you want me to go? And here's something interesting that Dallas Willard shares about when he does that. He says, when I want to hear from God, I ask him to speak to me. And then as I go through my day, I listen for that voice or the thought that comes from him to help me understand things. It's amazing how often that we don't ask for what we need. But when we do ask, we should expect it and watch for it. I'm often in the midst of something else, totally different, when the answer comes. One of the keys to hearing God is simply asking him to speak to us. Asking him to improve our hearing. Asking him to help us to listen during the day. It doesn't mean that you're always praying or, you know, you're always quiet. No, but you're open to that opportunity. When you're about ready to get an argument with one of your coworkers. Or your teacher's, you know, not making sense. And you're like, okay, what was that scripture that talked about that? And God will often bring that to mind. To ask him to help us to be more attentive so we can hear him throughout the day. I encourage you to practice that, even this week, to do that. But you know, sometimes the truth is, even in amidst all of that, it's still hard to hear God, isn't it? Sometimes it's still hard just to hear life. It's kind of like the three senior citizens who were out on a walk together, and one made a comment, "It sure is windy." Second responded, "It's not Wednesday, it's Thursday." Which the third replied, "I'm thirsty too." Sometimes we don't hear God, or maybe he's saying something to us and it kind of goes like this and we just don't catch it. You know, and that's part of life. I believe that's part of life. But you know, there are some things that we can do to improve our hearing. We've shared some, but here's another one. Ask the question, and this is only a question you can answer, really. Is there anything preventing me from hearing God better? Is there anything in my life that's kind of preventing me from hearing God? We need to examine ourselves and see if there's any blatant sin, you know, or rebellion, a rebellious heart, or a stubborn heart, or a prideful heart in our lives that's cluttering, that's disconnecting the line between us and God. Because the reality is, the Bible says that sin separates us from God. It's hard to hear God when we're not following him, right? Doesn't mean we have to be perfect, okay? I'm not saying that. We all sin. We're not going to be perfect. But if there's an area in your life where you know that, you know what, this is keeping me from my relationship with God. See, the truth is, before God will speak to you of other things, the thing that he's going to keep harping on you is your relationship with him. You know, I find it true in marriages too, you know. I usually don't go to Mel and ask her for something when we just had a fight. Because I usually know the answer or the attitude, you know. It's like, hey, get right in relationship with me first. It's the same with God. In the sense, He will just continue speaking to you about your relationship with him before he starts answering these other questions that you have. Or say, hey, let's go down this road here. Well, you might go on your own. It's just, what's the most important thing about hearing God anyway? We talked about the first week. What's the most important thing about hearing God? I just gave you the answer. Anybody? Bueller? What is it? Thank you. Let's say it together. Relationship. Relationship with Christ. That's what this is ultimately all about. But he also wants us to examine our other relationships. Many times we need to examine if we've severed or hurt other relationships. And many times that will keep us from hearing God. Listen to what Jesus says In Matthew 5, 23 and 24, he said, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, or we could say, if you're coming to church to worship God, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, he says, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. God is always first and foremost concerned about relationships, your relationship with him and your relationship with others. And until those are right, God says, we're not really going to move on to other stuff that I'd really like to do in your life, because without me, without those relationships, you know, it's useless, it's fruitless anyway. But, you know, many times, to the best of our knowledge, there's nothing preventing us from hearing God. And we kind of go through those four lights. Remember, we talked about those last week? And we go through that, and yet, truth is, sometimes we still don't hear God. You know, something that we shouldn't do, I don't want this series to cause, is stress or to overanalyze hearing God. Some people can get really, I got to hear God, you know. I got to know this and that. Well, I don't think we need to stress out about it. But there's another truth that I think we need to hear. It's an importance of about hearing God, and that's this. And unfortunately, some Christians or people who go to church often have this mindset, is to remember that hearing God is not a gimmick. You think, well, what do you mean, not a gimmick? Well, there's no surefire technique or steps, okay, even though I've given you kind of, you know, last week talked about four lights and different things. It's not a four-step program where God says, okay, you complete those things, and boom, the light will come on, and I'll speak to you, you hear my voice, Jesus will shine right there before you. No, there's no techniques. It's not about twisting God's arm, about what we want or how we want to hear him. It's interesting, though. We see a scene from Saul in the Old Testament, the first king of Israel. He shows the folly of such attempts. Let me kind of share with you what I'm talking about. Let's look at Saul. If you have a Bible, take a moment. I'll give you a second. Turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 10 to start, and then we'll skip over to chapter 13, but we got to start in chapter 10 to see the context. 1 Samuel 10, verse 8, and then we'll skip over to chapter 13 here. 1 Samuel 10, verse 8. Samuel is a priest and a prophet, okay? And God's having him speak to King Saul. And he says to King Saul, go down ahead of me to Gilgal. I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. But you must wait 7 days until I come to you, and then I'll tell you what you are to do. Pretty clear instructions, right? Well, skip over a chapter or two to chapter 13, verses 5 through 12. Let's see what's going on here. It says, the Philistines, who were the enemies of Israel, the Philistines assembled to fight Israel with 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and soldiers as numerous as the sand of the seashore. In other words, a lot of them. They went up and camped at Michmash, east of Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that their situation was critical and that their army was hard-pressed, they hid in caves and thickets, among the rocks and in pits and cisterns. They were pretty scared. Some Hebrews even crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. They went AWOL. And Saul, King Saul, remained at Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking with fear. And he waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal right then. And Saul's men began to scatter. And so Saul said, bring me the burnt offerings and the fellowship offerings. And Saul offered up the burnt offering. Just as he finished making the offering, it's always like that, isn't it? Just after he finished, Samuel arrived and Saul went out to greet him. What have you done? Asked Samuel. Saul replied, well, when I saw that the men were scattering, that you did not come at the set time, and the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I got that underlined in my Bible, I thought, well, now the Philistines will come down and against me in Gilgal, and I'll have to, and I've not sought the Lord's favor. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offerings. Samuel had spoken for God to King Saul and said, you need to wait until I come to present the offerings. Because the priest was the one who gave the offerings. Not just anybody could do it. But we see here that Saul's highest priority was not to wait on God, was not to obey God, even though he kind of felt like he did, I waited 7 days, maybe not the whole 7 days, but things are getting critical, God. And what did he do? He thought, you know, if I just do this religious ritual, if I just get this out of the way, if I get God on my side, and things are going to go my way, then God will do what I ask, which was what? Protect him from the Philistines. He thought, you know, if I just go through the motions of this sacrifice, if I do this religious thing, then God is obligated to help me. You know what? There are many Christians or many religious people who have this same kind of mindset, maybe even some of us at times. We think, you know, if I just do some religious things, then God has to do his part. He has to speak to me. He has to show me what he wants me to do. He has to help me in this particular circumstance. He has to give us what we want. And so we think hearing God sometimes is a gimmick or a technique, or as long as I do the religious stuff, we think, well, as long as I go to church, or as long as I give money to the church, or I give money to a good organization, a charity, or as long as I use my time and I really help others, then God will do and help me whatever way that I need him to. He'll give me whatever I desire to hear from him. But you know, God's not a genie. God's not even Santa Claus. He's not bound to do anything for us simply because of some method or some technique or some religious thing that we do. You know, it's interesting. The truth is, many people don't want to hear from God except for when trouble or crisis comes into their lives. It's a reality for many. Maybe some of you have been there. It's not a bad thing necessarily, because we want people to seek God. He's there. But you know, for those who are believers, those of you who say, I'm a follower of Christ, we should truly desire to hear God's voice, to hear God just in the regular days of our life. Not just in the crisis, but which do you tend to do? Do you tend just to listen to God and really seek God and try to hear him during crisis and tough decisions? Or are you trying to seek him on a regular basis? See, the truth is, it's hard to hear God in difficult times if you're not used to hearing him in the normal days of life. It is. It takes, as we said, it takes experience to be able to hear and understand God's voice. We've been going through this series and trying to give you some tools. So as far as the Christ, sometimes hearing God comes easily. And we're like, wow, that is God speaking. I know it. Other times, it's downright hard. But the one speaking to us, God, he's infallible. Infallible means doesn't make any mistakes. We are fallible, right? So sometimes God may be speaking and we don't hear. See, God's not his voice, we call the voice of God, is not a fix-all. In other words, we don't have to hear God's voice just to live our lives every moment. I mean, that, you know, okay, God, okay, tell me, should I turn right or left? Should I have peanut butter or should I have bologna sandwich? You know, that's not what God's about. Sometimes we treat him that way. God is always there, but he's not kind of, his voice is not something that we just, you know, okay, direct me right or left, right or left. Because remember, what's the most important thing about the voice of hearing God? Let's see if you remember. What's the most important thing? Oh, yes! Yes, all right. So when there's no specific voice, no specific direction, when God seems to be silent, you know what God calls us to do? To live by faith. To by faith live and to make decisions that, ultimately, he said, that seem best to you as you're following God. It's interesting, I can't remember who said it. Somebody said, love God and do as you please. Do you remember, anybody remember who that was? Chris, you got any idea? Love God and do as you please. That's a famous quote, I don't know if anybody else knew it. Can't remember who it was. But anyway, it's a great, if you really truly love God, he says, do as you please, because you're going to be doing what's honoring and pleasing to him. Use those four lights. Remember we talked about the four lights last week? If you didn't hear it, go online, you can listen to it. But if after listening to God as best you can, after prayer, and after going through those different things, you know, the word of God, the still small voice, others, God's word and so on, those things you're still not sure about a direction, you know what God says? Make your best choice. I'll give you some wisdom in there. Make your best decision. Once again, Dallas Willard, he just passed away just a year and a half or so ago, but he's a wise person. And this is one of the things he said about that. He said, God expects and trusts us to choose, and he goes with us in our, let me read the start again. He expects and trusts us to choose, and he goes with us in our choice. Several different courses of action may each be God's perfect will in a given circumstance. In these cases, there are usually various things that would be equally pleasing to God, though he directs none of them in particular to be done. Many believe at the heart of this is Psalm 37, 4 and 5, which says, delight yourself in the Lord, or love the Lord with all you have. May he be everything to you. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to him, trust in him, and he will do it. Hearing God is an act of faith and should be the greatest desire of our heart. And sometimes we will hear God's voice clearly, and other times he says, you know what? Delight in me, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. We can take steps to better hear God, yes. And I hope this series has helped you. But, you know, the truth is, God has given us a brain. God has given us a relationship with him. And his directions, instructions say, you know what? Many times the decision is yours. Do it out of a relationship with me. See, if you choose to take the things we've learned the past 6 weeks, you're going to more and more discern God's voice. You're going to understand and hear it even clearer in the days to come. We'll be able to hear God even clearer. And I've sensed that even just in these 6 weeks for myself. And I hope you have as well. We'll know what God maybe is telling us to do in a specific situation. We'll know what he doesn't want us to do in a specific situation. But we'll know ultimately, as we've said, it's all about a relationship with him, an ongoing conversation with Jesus. And if I were to boil all this series down to one big thought, and we've had lots of things that I hope that you will take and review, but ultimately, at the very core, hearing God is, you tell me. Say it louder. With who? With God, with Jesus Christ. The God, think about this, the God who became man and came on that first Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. The living and loving God of the universe has spoken to us through history. And you know what? He speaks even today. He speaks to each one of us, not just to pastors, not just to really spiritual people, but to every single one of us, no matter where we're at. God is there, willing to speak into our lives. How? Why? If we are willing to listen. If we choose to improve our hearing with some of the things we talked about this morning, to reduce the noise in our life, to find some silence and solitude, and to listen to his voice on a regular basis, he will speak to us. And more, you will truly be able to experience the joy of hearing God, of allowing him to speak to you, whether that be through his word, through the Holy Spirit, through others, through circumstances, and a multitude of other ways that God chooses to speak to us. That's my prayer for myself. That's my prayer for each of us. And especially as we spend and look forward to this next week at Christmas, may we hear God and then respond to what he's saying. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for hearing us. And Lord, pray that you would continue to speak to hearts, even today, even this week, that we would listen as we hear the song on the radio, as we read something, as we talk to someone, as we spend quiet time with you. Lord, may we seek you if there's something specific in our lives, that we would seek your answer. Knowing, though, that your greatest desire in all this is that we would delight in you. We would have a deepening relationship with you. So thank you, Lord, for not only listening to us, but most importantly, also speaking to us. In Christ's name.